Hello, mech fans around the world and those that aren't fans yet, and welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom, the podcast where your two largely inept but prone to love co-hosts, Fuzzy, that'd be me, and Chris, watch, summarize, critique, and make fun of the entirety of the Gundam franchise from beginning to end. This is episode 18, and we'll be talking about episode 18 of Mobile Suit Gundam 0079, Zeon's Secret Mine, in which we see me steal a bit every single time. Moe agare, and take it away. Anyway, welcome back to Mobile Suit Fandom. See, I got a little like, side one.
I can't surprise him, so I'm just gonna bring no energy to it.
You betcha.
Hello!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages. Why are you here? You're a child. You shouldn't be listening to this podcast.
Or you're geriatric, and look, you ain't got much time left. Don't waste it on us.
Don't waste it on us, please. Go do anything. Go skydiving.
Actually, you know what? It makes no difference. Like, if you're a middle-aged person, you ain't got much fuck. Don't waste time on... Why are you listening? No one should listen to this podcast. If you're listening to this podcast right now, I want you to think to yourself, is there anything else more fulfilling?
The answer is yes. Right there now? Are millions of other things you could be
Even
doing.
If it's just a better podcast. Like, let me think here. Science Versus. Go listen to Science Versus. That's a better podcast than this.
Anyway. Welcome to episode 18 of Mobile Suit Fandom, the podcast where, you know, we do that thing that I already said in the intro, and it's been so long since we last recorded, I forgot how we do things on this podcast.
Yeah, we've had a few weeks where it just didn't line up, or I was too busy screaming at the void that was my internet.
That too, that happened a lot. But hey, now you have... that dank fiber.
Yeah, that dank $250 a month fiber, because I'm in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah, and you have to... Chris has to pay for a business account, and interesting fact about Chris and his household, it's not a business.
I'm not a business! I'm a person!
It's true.
Well, I guess this is America. Businesses are people, huh?
Yeah. So I guess, but is it like a square rectangle kind of thing where like, which one's
all
the rectangle?
All businesses are people, but not all people are businesses.
Yeah, like which one's the rectangle and which one's the square, you know?
So it's all squares are a rectangle, but not all rectangles are squares.
Yeah.
So it's the business, hold on.
But you can make the argument that the people are the rectangle in this context
right.
too, because all businesses are people, but not all people are businesses. Right?
So this episode opens with my sweet baby idiot Gun Perry.
Good segue. Today we're talking about episode 18 of Mobile Suit Gundam, which is Zeon's Secret Mine. And, well, yeah, so this time, our intro sequence just seems to be getting shorter and shorter. Like, mm-hmm. It feels like the narrator is just like, hey, fucker.
Ah, you fucking know.
Yeah, like, you know what it is, bitch. I should really stop leaning into the mic, because goddamn these waveforms. Anyway, so the intro sequence is, you know, the good old-fashioned Gun Perry docking on that island that we got in the Lost episode.
Yeah. Nice reused animation.
And the narrator is like, hey, remember last week? Yeah, Amuro fucking deserted. Anyway, meanwhile in space, the battleship Guazine departs from Granada, a Zeon base on the moon. Turns out it's Kaecilia's ship. Also, Kaecilia wears a mask that covers everything
also,
but her eyes.
Kaecilia looks dope as fuck.
So, sorry, I was taking a sip of tea. I really quick...
You said so, took a sip of tea.
It's because I wanted to interrupt you, because I want to talk about a thing here.
Okay, talk about the thing.
Because, so, of all the Xeon, like, main characters we've met so far, most of them do not wear masks. Except for Char and Kaecilia.
Right. Which makes leads me to believe they are that Kaecilia is equally as badass.
Right, so Char wears a mask that covers his eyes because he conceals his identity.
Right.
Kaecilia wears a mask over her mouth, but leaves her eyes open. Not only that, it's a distinctive mask and a distinctive helmet. She's not hiding who she is at all. There's no question that is Kaecilia Zabi.
Right.
But more than that, her brothers didn't do that. Her brothers just keep their head out. Like, sometimes they'll put on a helmet, but yeah, they won't, like, cover anything.
You gotta show off their pretty hair.
Yeah. Whereas Kaecilia, who has some dope hair and a damn good jawline...
Yeah, she's a fucking... I feel like this show is personally attacking me.
With your red hair.
My fucking ginger fight girls, man. I don't... How dare they?
How dare they? So,
anyways,
Kaecilia fucking... Char is hiding his eyes and identity, yet he's suave and he talks. That's one of his big things. He's got a high charisma score, right? Yep. But he's also a great fighter. But you don't ever really know what he's thinking.
Except for, Garma, you're gonna fucking die.
Right, like, we have to get audio of that. Whereas most other characters, like, we see their eyebrows move or something, and we get that. We don't get that with Char. He's a mystery. Kaecilia hides her mouth. It doesn't matter what she says. She owns the fucking room. She just looks. There's no question what she feels. Because she can just fucking kill you with a look.
Yeah. Well, and a gun.
And a gun. But we'll get to that later. Fucking those of you who have already seen all the way through Mobile Suit Gundam, you know what that's a reference to.
Uh-oh. I have not. I was just assuming. I was making some assumptions here.
Yeah, no. You're in for a treat, my dude. Especially regarding Kaecilia. Kaecilia is really cool. I like her a lot. Not only that, but she's also the fucking commander of the Navy. Like, sure, Garma had a Gaw and, like, a platoon. Fucking, Girin seems to be, you know, kind of top brass. But then Kaecilia and, what's the last one's name? The big dumb one. Dozel. Dozel is commander of, like, the army, right? The boots on the ground. Kaecilia is fucking in charge of everything else.
Yep. Because the Navy is also the Air Force. It's also the Marines.
Yeah. Kaecilia is, like, the main body of command in this. And that's really fucking cool to me.
Yep.
Like, I know nepotism, but, like, she proves throughout this, even this episode, like, she knows what the fuck she's doing.
She's also hard as fuck, man. She gives zero fucks. She's hard.
She's fucking metal, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we'll talk about her more, but I just really wanted to specifically mention that fucking character design thing, because it's really cool to me, and... fascinated me once I fucking noticed it. We smash cut to a slow pan down as kind of the proper episode begins, and it's a shitty town. It looks real bad. It's in ruins, and Amuro has driven and parked the Gundam here and thrown some fucking tarps over it.
Mm-hmm. He put the fucking... The only part that's good, well covered is the fucking boots, which he put in under a bridge.
Yeah.
He's like, there, that's hidden. The boots are under a bridge.
Yep.
No one will ever find it.
The worst part is, later, that camouflage works? Because everyone is an idiot in anime.
The worst part is the person who finds it isn't even using aerial surveillance. They just happen upon it.
I'll get to that. Don't you?
Yes, I know.
Worry. So Almaro is fucking eating dinner with his gun next to him. He's paranoid as fuck.
Yeah. So there's a noise, and he reaches for the gun. Like, you know, what was that? So, and then like a couple maybe 2 seconds go by, and he's like, okay, it's fine. So I guess in his mind, if someone is sneaking up on you and they make a noise, if they don't immediately try to murder you, they're not there.
Yeah, that's how assassins
He doesn't
work.
Go look. He doesn't, like, shit. It's fine. He's just like, well, I guess it's fine.
Yep.
No one out there. They're not making noise now. It's out of sight, out of mind. He has no object permanence.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah.
This episode is a real episode of me learning, like, how much I hate Amuro.
Well, okay, it's also kind of interesting because in the context of the story, and minor spoiler for you for next episode, Amuro goes through a lot of change next episode. And so, like, this is the last bit of, like, in my opinion, superiorly shitty Amuro. Oh. And next
episode... Am I gonna like Amuro?
Like, okay, is gonna be a strong word for you, because I know what happens in the story in the next episode or two, and you're not gonna be happy.
Oh, no.
But...
Oh, I know what's about to happen.
I'm so sorry.
I think.
Yeah, you probably do.
Is it a romance-type situation?
No, it isn't.
Then I don't know what's happening.
Okay, cool. Anyway,
I've seen references as to, like, he has a relationship with somebody, and I don't like that part. Like, from what I understand, it's not Fraubo, right?
I mean, like, that's actually one thing I kind of dig about this show. So for a lot of the early part, right, you're led to believe that Amuro and Fra have a thing and are gonna have a thing going forward.
Well, Frappo obviously likes him a lot.
Yeah, but Amuro...
And is probably the only person on that fucking ship that does.
Well, I mean, Hayato and Ryu like him.
Yeah, okay, but Hayato and Ryu are gay for each other, so...
And then...
I'm kidding.
Are you?
I'm not.
Kai is a shitbag who I don't think is capable of liking anything. Never mind other humans.
Right.
But that also assumes he is a human, which I'm not convinced of, because that man that boy child,
that being,
shows about as much empathy and situational awareness as a fucking bag of potato chips. And, yeah, I'm just going to assume Kai is a living bag of potato chips until he moves himself out of the shitbag zone.
It works, too, because potato chips are also very salty. Salty thing. Salty, they salt.
Are you okay?
No.
Fucking...
The point is, I just don't think Amuro deserves love.
That's fair.
On with this episode.
So, Amuro then hears some jet noises and is like, oh, hey, those haven't gone away. I should look up, out, and outside at that. And he looks outside to see a large purple craft drifting through the air.
A large purple craft, you say? My notes, in all caps, say, look at this fucking disco battle turnip. Are you okay? We have just had a conversation about how garbage, like, the ships on this show are. And boy, do they not disappoint. Except this one's not Federation. The Zeon have let us down.
Disco battle turnip. Oh my God!
They've taken the Zeon scientist looked at the Gaw, otherwise known as the fat eggplant, and thought, you know what other vegetables make good aerodynamic ships? Turnips. So let's just put a bunch of static legs on this turnip, and then fill it with guns and paint purple, and that'll win us the war, right, everybody? Operation Disco Battle Turnip, we got this.
I'm sorry.
Okay, cool.
You really just fucked me up with that. Okay, wow. Yeah, so...
Tell me it's not a disco battle turnip.
I can't. The only difference is it's a little bit less turnip-shaped and a little... Well, actually, no. It depends on what kind of turnip. I'm used to, like, the pure round turnips, but it's kind of got that little bit of, like, teardrop slash Dragon Quest slime look to it.
Yeah.
Which is a shape that people draw a stereotypical turnip as.
Yeah, I only know turnips from video games, so...
Have you never seen a turnip in real life?
I have, but it was long after video game turnips ruined me.
Alright, so... alright.
I saw it, and I'm like, that's a potato.
alright, yeah, so this disco...
That's not a turnip.
So this disco battle turnip fucking drifts through the air. we smash cut to the disco room inside the battle turnip, and we see 15 Zeon dudes shirtless...
cutting a rug. Party-boying on each other.
Party-boying on each other. It's really a great little scene. I'm surprised they animated it, but it is the late 70s, so I guess it makes sense. God, was disco big in Japan at the time? I wonder.
I'm not sure. But I've been listening to a lot of Persona 5-esque music, so disco is on my mind.
All right. Like, literally my only clue to that is, like, Yakuza 0 right now, but that takes place in the 80s, but they have disco clubs in that. Anyway,
that was your video game minute.
Anyway, so, somehow also Amuro is capable of looking inside the window of the disco battle turnip, and he sees...
Protagonist eyes, man.
Protagonist eyes.
Fuck with him.
And he sees Mikuve and Caecilia speaking as it drifts overhead, and then he's like, oh, well, that was odd, what the fuck was that thing? And then that scene ends, and the sad song starts playing, and we cut to white bass.
I know it's not that song, but yeah, it's a very sad
song. The named crew is meeting on the bridge, and Hayato wonders aloud what to do if Amuro actually comes back, at which point Kai does his shitbag of the week move. Please play the shitbag of the week theme song, if we've come up with that yet, because we really should. He points out that we execute deserters.
Yeah, it's basically, if Amuro comes back, we're gonna fucking kill him. JK.
Fraw naturally, takes offense at this, and...
Because Fraw likes him.
Yeah, and...
Everybody else is just like, nah, he's joking, it's fine, we're not actual military.
Yeah, but then Sayla does point out, like, but real...
He has to be punished.
Real talk, though, Amuro's been a shit for a while.
Yeah.
We need to do something about that. Either take him off the Gundam or something, because this isn't okay.
Yeah, we can't let this shit continue. She looks over at Bright and says, just in case, you might need to re-up on the backhand adjustments. I think it's losing effect.
Yeah, I think he's low on backhand mana. Yeah. Well, you see, what happened is Bright had been charging it for
a while,
billions of years.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, again... His fist had the density of a neutron star.
Yeah, so. Also, Bright's soul is immortal and was born from the beginning of the universe.
Yeah, but everybody knows that. Like, that's old news.
Yeah, and so...
That's why we haven't mentioned it until now. Yeah. We just assumed everybody knew that.
Actually, it hasn't been charging that long. It's been charging around, like, 2000-ish years, because the last time Bright Soul had to backhand a motherfucker... was like in Roman times, and he backhanded Octavius because he was being a little shit. But then,
and even 2,000 years of backhand charging only made Amuro stop being a piece of shit for like 3 episodes.
Yep, because Amuro, also born at the beginning of the universe, and he's been charging that shitbagness since then. That wasn't, like, he hasn't reincarnated ever. That's just Amuro. Amuro has been Amuro and will always be Amuro.
Amuro is a flat circle.
Amuro is a flat circle. An infinite flat circle. Of shit. of human feces. Anyway, so, we... So yeah, Sayla's like, yeah, he's being a shit. And we cut to Fraw, fucking, she's run to the hangar and is jumping in a buggy.
Yes, have we seen that buggy before and I just wasn't paying attention?
Maybe once, but like, we can talk about this buggy.
This buggy is dope as shit! I want one of these, it's like a little dune, two-seater dune buggy, and it just looks cool.
It's also got another couple of seats on the back, I think.
Okay, well, fine.
Like, you can open the trunk, and I think it has a couple of extra seats.
Later in the episode, fucking Fraubo pops a wheelie in this motherfucker.
This thing is a cool fucking dune buggy.
Yeah, I'm not gonna spoil the other... Just
oh, yeah, no, we need to keep that one in the back pocket.
But even in this scene, like, in this scene, I wrote it down. I just wrote, don't forget the dope-ass dune buggy.
It's a dope dune buggy, yeah. It's also, it like, cool orange color. Like,
uh-huh.
It's real good. It's a really good dune buggy.
Also, driver's side is on the left.
Japan.
Which I've been... Driver's... Well, is that...
No, wait, that's normal. Yeah. That's how...
Yeah, it's our... That's why I was confused. And I'm guessing it's because the Federation's not modeled... after Japan?
Well, okay, like, to model anything after the Japanese military would be a fool's errand, since, you know, they don't technically have the military, they have the self-defense force, and they're not allowed to ever have a military as part of their national constitution that they signed after they got their shit wrecked by America, yeah, and then MacArthur that. Came I in and was like, hey. Yeah! That was your history. Whoops. 20 seconds.
Oops. But this is based on World War II, so...
Right.
They had a military then. I guess they didn't have a lot of ground forces.
Well, also, like... Fucking... Japan's military just it wasn't something to really base off of, right? They didn't have that... They didn't have a modern military culture.
No.
Whereas, like... Japan, not Japan, America, Britain, Germany.
You know, not Japan, America.
The rest of the people fighting in World War II all had
a very strict, not strict, very rich, modern military culture.
Yeah, and doctrine, and like, they had evolved that for a long time, whereas years of isolationism in Japan's quarter of the world, fucking, they never got past a lot of their shit. And so they kind of were stuck in a lot of that shit. Mm-hmm. And they're still kind of stuck in some of that shit. And they're dealing with it with big titty anime girls.
We should have recorded that conversation to put the end. The point is, me and Fuzzy are getting a little... We had a little bit of a frustration junction.
We had a 30-minute conversation about the frustration we had with various big titty anime girls in various places.
Like, it makes it like there are some pretty decent anime that I'm watching, and I'm like, oh, I might like this. I might want to recommend this to somebody. And as soon as they have like a tit sock girl.
For just real quick, like, real quick as an aside, for those of you who don't know, a titty sock or titty pocket is a lot of animes will draw, like, painted on clothing onto women, where like the cloth will hug the under titty all the way into the tip,
so you can get extreme detail.
Yeah, which means that these things have tit pockets. It's not fabric that covers like a sheet. It goes up and under.
Put your boobs in that.
Yeah.
Like, I can't wait for the dick pocket anime. Just sew in a dick pocket on these pants. Anyways, the point is, I a surprising majority of my friends are women who watch anime, and I can't be like, hey, watch this anime, without it then going, but they do have a naked cat girl on. And, like, that's him. I'm just not gonna.
Well, you see, at a certain point, you also have to just, like, accept certain garbage, which I have at this point. So
I have not.
I'll be like, yeah, I really like Monmusu. I think it's funny, and I don't give a shit about Monster Girl titties, no matter how far out they are. For the record, Monmusu, a.k.a. Everyday Life with Monster Girls, is a softcore porn series.
Yeah.
About monster girls with giant cans, except for two of them who do not have giant cans because they need to fulfill the lolly requirement because Japan is a godless nation.
Well, that's your Chris and Fuzzy tit minute.
This episode has a lot of sub-podcasts in it. We should really bottle all of these, you know, cut them out and package them separately.
Make a whole new podcast.
Make a whole new podcast called the Sub Podcast of sub-podcast. Yeah.
Well, hold on.
Wait. Oh no. That's a different.
The fuck are we, Fuzzy? We gotta hit the reset button.
Fraw jumps in this buggy.
Oh yeah, dude buggy. Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
With the express intention of getting Amuro and the Gundam back. The kids have a brief bit, but fuck them. Who cares? And then Hayato and Ryu watch her go and are like, man, kind of hope she succeeds, but, man, how will she? And Ryu notes, it'll be a matter of timing, which is a good line that I actually like quite a bit. That makes a lot of sense. Like, yeah, it all depends on when she catches him and how. Like,
in his mental state at the time.
Yeah, like, that boy is fucked up, and it's spin the wheel!
Yep.
Anyway, we cut to Fraw, who is driving this dune buggy.
Sorry, I just read your note on this.
And she is haunted by cutouts of her crewmates, like a Full House intro. Literally, she's driving, and it's a shot of her face, and then, like... An orange rectangle with Mirai's head in it will appear over her fucking forehead, and it say some lines, and then a portrait
orientation.
Yeah, and then a portrait orientation of Ryu appears and says lines we just heard. Those are the only two I remember, but I seem to be projecting a bright one in there too, but I don't think that actually happened. I just like to imagine Bright in places where he doesn't belong.
Backstory on Fuzzy, he always has an orange cutout of Bright talking to him at all times, so...
I try, the medicine isn't helping. No matter how much I try, it doesn't go away. Sometimes he tries to reach out and slap me. I have to dodge.
Reach out, touch, fuzz. I'm cutting that out.
No, you're gonna leave that in. The world must know of your egregious sins. Fraw gets haunted and finds the Gundam's big ol' footy prints. Really easy to see, and interesting fact, when tracking a giant robot, you don't exactly have to be a fucking elf ranger to do that. Also, she finds him real fast.
So fast.
Like, due to how long the fact that these scenes take place next to each other, it feels like no time has passed, which means he's like 15 minutes away from White Base.
Yeah, he's just like, that's probably far enough, I need to go sleep.
Yeah, and then just decided, fuck it, I'll hide here. The time is wonk in this region of the world.
Yeah. Let's just not.
Yeah,
because it feels like fucking years since we started this, watching this show.
Right.
And it's been like 2 days.
Yep.
I know it's been longer than that, but I'm...
I think in-universe it has been less than a week.
Yeah, it's...
Or like a week.
A lot of shit has happened in a very short amount of time.
Anyway, so, the following scene, you know, Fra finds the Gundam and gets out of a buggy and walks around and makes some noise, and Amuro's like, fuck. And there's like, oh no, is he gonna shoot Fra because he doesn't know it's Fra? And she walks around the corner and he's like, oh, it's Fra, I'm not gonna shoot.
They also try to psych you out. Like, she gets to the edge of the little place where he's been staying, and he's like behind the wall, like to her right as she steps forward, and she just stops and looks at like his little tea kettle and bag or whatever.
That's a stove.
Right. I'm not looking at it right now. Fuck it. I guess you aren't either. You know what? I'm not a bright person.
It's true. Your first name isn't Noah.
It should be though. That's just. Gotta correct people how to spell it. Like, not the biblical. I'm named after an anime.
If you and so, Mary have another kid, name him Noah.
Name him Bright Noah.
Name him Bright Noah.
She has to stop there. Like, is she gonna just fucking walk away after this? But no, thankfully they have her step forward and get fucking dropped on. Doesn't. Like, fit, like, he got the drop on her, he didn't actually...
Nah, he climbed up the top rope and fucking gave her the people's elbow.
Fucking elbow dropped her off the... Some high-flying fucking
comedy. And Amuro from the top of the cage!
Ding, 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 ding!
She's dead! He killed her! She's dead! No, she isn't.
The fans will remember this, Fuzzy.
Yeah, they really will, because Amuro killed his love interest with the people's elbow. We are 35 minutes in and have not even gotten to the commercial of this episode.
Nope.
So, he, like, never mind, I'm not gonna shoot you in the face. Fra's like, hey, come back, dickweed. And he's like, why? None of you get me, Mom. And then she accidentally mentions Kai, you know, and they'll forgive you, and you won't get shot in the face, because Kai said that's what they do to deserters, and Amuro's like, yo, what the fuck? Why would I come back now?
Also, it's not even that bad. Like, she says that's not gonna happen, but they're, like, he will be punished. He's like, what?! Also, when he walks out there, he's like, walks her out to the Gundam and is like, this is what you're here for, right? This is what everybody's worried about. Yeah, motherfucker! What the fuck do you think? It's a Gundam! You took their most powerful weapon! Of course they fucking care about that!
Yeah.
But there's not what Frau's here! Oh, you fucking piece of shit! You fucking piece of shit! You're gonna make Frau cry and I hate you!
Yep. He
she says he might get in trouble, and he acts... fucking surprised! He acts like he's ran out of ammo! He's just like, what?! I might get punished?! For treason?!
Desertion.
I fucking hate
him. Not treason.
Whatever. Same goddamn- Look, he should be shot. Frau should shoot him right now and save everybody a lot of fucking time. Frau could be the new protagonist. I like her more anyway. Fuzzy. And he hops in the fucking Gundam. And he's like, looks real shitty at her, and he's like, nobody knows how I feel, and hits the button, closes the thing, and runs off in the Gundam.
For the record, I did write, he then emos the fuck out of there. He is a black hair dye and bob cut away from just being an emo kid.
You fucking little shit.
It's not just a phase, Mom.
Frau Mom.
Fmom. Fmeme. Anyway, we cut back to White Base, where our three boys, Hayato, Ryu, and Kai, are assembling guns. Kai finishes up assembling a revolver and then proceeds to do his best revolver ocelot impression.
And it breaks.
Give it a sec. He's successful at first, and he also, like, holds up, he, like, puts the barrel of the revolver out, you know, or, excuse me, the cylinder out, and then, like, looks at Hayato and Ryu through the cylinder, and, like, you know, the holes are, like, at 12 o'clock and 2 o'clock and 3, etc. And, like, the lower right hole is over Hayato's face, and the upper left one is over Ryu's face, because one of them's big and one of them's small.
So big and a small.
Yeah.
That's the joke, everybody.
Yeah, that's the joke. And it was really, I liked that shot a lot. Mm-hmm. And they also just casually talk about, you know, the state of things before Kai then puts the revolver cylinder back in and spins it around and is like, haha, and then the gun just fucking breaks.
Because Kai is a walking garbage fire.
Yes, so at this point I officially decided to move Kai to the shit zone.
I actually like this part.
Well,
because I like
the words he said were shitty.
Yeah.
For the record, by the way, I know none of you can see this, but next to me during these episodes, I have a wall of levers where each character has a lever, and I move it lower or higher depending on how shitty they've been. It's a scale from 1 to 10, and there are... I can move it between numbers. It's not like a lawnmower height setting. Like, it's a little bit smoother than that. But pretty much, like, 3 and lower are the shit zone. And Kai is at 1 right now. He is firmly deep in the shit zone. Amuro, also at 1.5. Deep in the shit zone.
What level... is my sweet idiot baby Gun Perry at?
Gun Perry is not a character. He doesn't have a lever. He is a giant plane helicopter.
Thank you for joining in the last episode of Mobile Suit Bandit, everybody.
Do I need to put up a lever for the Gun Perry?
I would like there to be a Gun Perry lever. My sweet dumb baby deserves a lever.
All right, hold on. All right, I screwed it in.
Thank you. Now.
Also, I just
numbers it out, Fuzzy.
I mean, right now, I just screwed it in, but it's also kind of, because it's at 5, it's sticking out, so I'm just going to move it up to, like, 7.
Okay, that's acceptable. All right, cool.
All right, it's at 7.
All right.
Also, for the record, I had to take down Makuve's lever, just because fuck him. And I replaced it with the Gun Perry lever. I want you to know that. Now, I still have this plate with a lever on it labeled Makuve, but I just...
Strap a dildo to that one, you'll be fine.
Why do you keep your dildos on levers? Also, why did we spend 2 minutes on this bit? Anyway. So, Amuro... we cut back to Amuro. And he detects some metal with the Gundam.
I hate this. Why does the Gundam...
Yeah, he's...
Monosity particles!
Yeah.
Why does the Gundam have a fucking metal detector?
Fuck you? Okay.
It's just an ambient. It doesn't have to be... It's just... He doesn't have a... Like, he doesn't put up a hand or start a dish sensor. It's just... He detects metal all around him. Why doesn't it go off when he's fighting Zaku's?
It's only gonna get worse, too, over the course of this episode.
Oh, yeah. This next bit. Fucking... deep undercover spy Gundam suit.
So, you know, as mentioned,
the fucking MacGuffin that is this piece of shit fucking.
So he jumped in the Gundam and started walking away, and Fraud jumped in the buggy and followed him. So suddenly he gets this metal detector turn on, and he stops moving, and Fraud just runs into his foot and flies out of her dune buggy because she wasn't wearing a seatbelt. And lands on the ground and is like, hey, you can't just break suddenly, and starts accosting him like they just got into a rear-ending accident on the fucking turnpike.
I fucking love Frabos.
And she's just like, hey, fucker. What? Like, I'm half expecting her to pull out a Jersey accent and a baseball bat. Like,
A, why is she not wearing seatbelts? B, that wreck phased her not. She hit him hard enough
to fly out of her dune buggy and then get up and yell at him.
And just yells. She is fucking tough as nails. Why is she, like, on kid duty? They should have her just,
yeah,
like,
front-line battle, the yeah,
punching people.
Like, Fabro is clearly made of Gundanium.
Yes. And also, I love that the future technology has solved the cars being in drive with no one sitting in the driver's seat problem.
Yep.
Because it just stops.
Yep.
It doesn't keep trying to go. It doesn't idle forward or roll backwards.
Nope.
It just engages. It
straight
kills
to park.
The engine, puts it in park. Yep. Oh, I love it.
I love the future.
Just in the fucking dirt.
I love my future where dune buggies stop on their own and women are made of Gundanium.
but will not, then no forward collision detection. Just
look,
when it senses a collision, implies the parking brake.
Little column A, little column, launch your driver out the fucking windshield.
I love this dune buggy. This dune buggy. Hey, hold on.
Yeah.
We gotta take someone down and put up a dune buggy lever. We'll work on that between episodes.
I mean,
you're not taking down the Gunberry lever.
Can I make it a combo lever? Can I add a sticky note underneath of, like,
okay, but yes, but only if you move it up to a 10.
I'll move it to a 9. It's an exponential scale, okay? Okay, real quick. All of my 1 through 10s are exponential. So, like, 1 is really low. 2 is much better than 1. 5, whilst average, is much better than 4. And 6 is a lot better than 5. And 10 is like God. Like, God's...
So 10 is Ron Burrell, is what you're saying.
He's a 9.9.
Oof! Oh, fuzzy!
Perfection is hard to attain. And as of right now...
Ramba, I am so sorry. I want everybody to know Fuzzy's views do not reflect the views of Mobile Suit fandom.
As of right now, the only Gundam thing I have ever given a 10 out of 10 is... the Samurai Gundam's giant laser musket?
Because... I guess we'll see when we get there.
It's not in any anime. It's only in Dynasty Warriors Gundam. And, it's also a model kit. And it's
gets
a...
its own fucking lever.
It's on a different wall. That's in my basement lever consortium. In the museum of levers of my rankings of shit. And it's the only 10 in that room. It is the only 10. It actually, I removed the lever from the rest of the wall and put it on a fucking pedestal.
Yeah. All right. So
also, you'd think it would be easier to switch out name tags? No, I switched the entire lever.
The entire lever. It's the proper... Look, if you're going to do something, you better fucking do it right.
Yeah. We spent another 2 minutes on this bit. so... Right, so he, Amuro, in the Gundam, is like, hey, shut the fuck up, they might hear you yelling, and then uses...
Yeah, I hear you!
And then uses his giant robot to creep up a hill and, like, look over it, and he looks around this place and sees, like, oh, this is, like, a little mining base or something.
Also, I want to point out, in a previous episode, it is, we have discovered it is fact... The eyes on the Gundam are polished
shiny
to such a degree
as fuck.
That if he moves in the slightest, a laser beam flies from them, alerting everyone near him as to his presence.
Maybe the sun's behind him, I don't know.
This is a bad idea. I hate he takes this bright white, red, and yellow and blue fucking Gundam in the desert on a fucking stealth mission.
Stealth.
Behind enemy lines. Pieces head over. Is this where it happens?
Yeah, so he looks around, and, like, I'm willing to say that the Gundam... So the Gundam zooms in with its eyes. And you know what?
Fine.
I can take that. Bino eyes makes perfect sense. He zooms in, takes a look around, sees it's a mine, and then spots a tower with Kaecilia and Mikuve in it. Mm-hmm. We then cut to their conversation, which I'm willing to take so far because I assume this is for the audience, where we learn that Mikuve is mining this shit called Solium, and before he gets a chance to tell us what it does, Kaecilia is like, I don't give a fuck. I only want it so that the Feddies can't have it. And he's like, all right.
She's about asset denial.
Yeah, which, fucking bold. I respect that. That's good war right there. She's a good at war. And Mikuve's like, shit, brah, you're metal. Alright, respect. So then we cut to Amuro, who has heard this conversation, because the Gundam has a fucking spy radar in it, I guess? Where he can just fucking look at shit and hear it?
No, do you see the thing on the side of his head?
No.
Hold on, am I making things up?
I didn't see
shit. Because I saw a giant fucking boom microphone sticking out of the side of his
head. I didn't see shit out of his head, and I may have just missed that, because if...
I'm gonna look it up again, and if I find it, I will post it as, like, the
show note.
The podcast picture, yeah. God, I really hope I didn't imagine that, because there was just this giant fucking microphone sticking out of the side.
I actually really hope you did imagine it, because that's much better to me. That you mentally put a boom mic in the scene in order to make sense of this stupid bullshit. So, yeah, he hears all this, and then Fraw walks up, is like, I want to fucking see, and he puts a Gundam hand in front of her.
And he says, what if they see you?
And he says, what if they see you? And at this point, the entire world screeched to a halt and just looked at the man in the giant red, white, blue, and yellow fucking suit.
He's got golden spikes on his fucking forehead.
No, they're white right now.
Whatever.
They don't turn yellow till only Zeta and Onward have yellow head fins.
All right, you fucking nerd.
Except for Turn A, which it's white again, but it's also a mustache.
Fuzzy, how dare you do this to me right now? I'm coming to my house.
I'm not. I'm fucking. Fuck you.
Fucking dunk on me with your fucking.
With my facts. Anyway.
All right.
So. He puts a hand in front of her, and she lifts its finger? Just fucking leg lifts this puppy up so she can take a look. And
I had in my head thought, like, oh, Amuro is, like, fine, whatever, and has it lift a finger. But after we've talked about her fucking
being made of Gundanium and a Terminator. Yeah.
I am real fucking into this idea of her just fucking, like, the Gundam's like, the fucking servos can't take it!
Now, of course, like, if we ask Tomino, he'd probably be like, yeah, no, once he put the hand there, it's not like it's in gate, it's a relaxed hand. And I'm like, no, fuck you. Even if it's relaxed, it's made of Gundam bits?
It's bigger than she is.
Yeah. She still benched that fucker. By herself.
Yep.
Holy shit.
Not even bench, just fucking military, shoulder pressed it.
Yeah, just shoulder pressed a fucking Gundam finger by herself. Frabo confirmed to be a T-1000.
She should really... Well, that's like T-75. Like, T-1000's the... Anyways.
Yeah, I'm saying she's so fucking badass. She's one of the... She can fucking
shape... She's the liquid
shit.
One? Yeah. Oh, fuck! Oh, shit!
She changes Frabo. Form later. Oh. Fucking just stabs a guy with her hand.
Oh! New favorite character. Sorry. Sorry, Gun Perry.
I'll notch him down once.
yeah. It's actually a really cute shot. Like, we see from outside looking in the, like, you see the hand and then her, like, in between two fingers looking out, holding a finger up with her fucking
Terminator strength,
muscles.
Yeah.
And then, like, fucking Amuro with the cockpit open just looking at her like,
fucking the body is willing, but the flesh is weak and spongy.
So he's like, go fucking. She's like,
go tell Whitebase.
Yeah, well, she says we need to radio them, and he's like,
nah.
Oh, you dummy, we can't fucking radio them. They'll hear our broadcast.
So go get him.
All right, calm fuck down, Neckbeard.
Yeah. Meanwhile, back at Whitebase, as Fraw jumps in the buggy to leave, back on Whitebase, the bridge crew watches the sonar, and then we cut to the engine room and meet our blonde engine boy and two more engineer boys.
Fuck, we know his name. Why do we keep... It's like...
It was mentioned once. Job. It is Job, yeah.
Yes. Ah! I've remembered some... Fuck you, Fuzzy, and your dumb fucking white goddamn head thingies and... facts and shit. His name's Job, you piece of shit.
I'm proud of you. I owe congratulations. Congratulations. You've won. You've did it. Anyway.
Can we still be friends?
Yes.
Okay.
So, Job and his two friends here, who appear to be 13-year-olds based on their janky-ass proportions... but still, fuck the rest of this series. I want this show about the three of them.
Yeah.
I want...
Just engineers on Whitebase.
Yeah, three engineers on Whitebase.
Have you ever seen Red Dwarf?
I know of it.
British company. Anyway, I imagine just like that, just three. We never see the rest. Well, I guess in Red Dwarf there aren't any other crews.
Yeah.
But we only see these three. Like, they never get to interact with anybody else because they're just... It's the IT crowd!
Yeah.
It's the IT crowd.
You see,
that's
I'm imagining kind of like the IT crowd mixed with, like, the actual Gundam, and it's like they do sometimes interact with the main characters, but it's mostly it's like, hey, fucker, fix! And then, like, Amuro just pilots the fucking Gundam in, and it's, like, missing, like, half of its head, and, like, its arms have been destroyed, and it's a fucking paraplegic
mess. They've got to fucking spool up the fucking ammunition factory that is the rest of the ship again!
Yeah.
Because he just spray and prays constantly.
Yep.
Anyway.
I would love that show. Anyway.
Yeah.
Back at the mine, Amuro thinks that this might be the mine Reveal plans on taking on Odessa a day. Of course it isn't, you fucking shitbag. And decides to attack it on his own. So he starts to. Commercial.
Show!
We come back.
Yeah!
And Fraw hears explosions in the distance as she's driving away and kicks the fucking buggy into the dank shit. So the buggy fucking...
Say it slowly.
The buggy. Oh. She kicks kicks the lever down to full.
She's going full speed at the time.
And it fucking kicks into the air as the wheels curve under the car.
Yeah.
And it begins to fly.
It flies!
The buggy flies.
It's a fucking... It's a magic buggy!
It's a magic buggy!
Holy fuck, I want this fucking fly buggy so bad!
Yeah, so it fucking turns its wheels under and it turns into a hover buggy.
It's fucking... Grease light... It's fucking grease lightning at the end of fucking Cheers. Just apropos of nothing.
Yeah.
It fucking flies.
Yeah.
Because why not? Why the fuck wouldn't it?
I have no explanation for this buggy.
If it can fly, why is it... Why would you take it? Why would you use the wheels?
Why would you ever use the wheels?
Wheels can go flat. You've got to deal with terrain. You got fucking...
I don't have any explanation for you, but I love the buggy.
I love this fucking... Notch our gun parry slash buggy lever up back up to where it was, you fucker.
Click.
Thank you.
Oh,
it's so great. Like, and my best part is, like, you know it's got to... It's got to go faster, too. That's why she does it, right?
Yeah.
So it's got to go faster. We know from her flying fucking through nothingness when she wrecked it, that there's no windshield. So she's just catching, like, she doesn't have goggles. She's just dealing with the fucking wind and bugs in her teeth.
She's the T-1000. She doesn't care.
True.
She's immortal.
They pass through.
Yeah.
She absorbs them into herself and becomes more powerful.
She's actually not a T-1000. She's a fucking eldritch monstrosity of flesh. She's prototype. She's the prototype from the hit video game Prototype. I can't say Prototype was a hit video game with a straight face. Note for those of you who are going to angrily message me about your love of Prototype, I liked it too. Jump off. Fuck you. Fucking Prototype fanboy community coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah, the the Venn diagram that is the meshing of our fans and fans of this.
You know it's 100%. Like, it's gonna be everyone.
I have never played Prototype.
Yeah, you're not a fan, you're a host.
Okay,
You don't get to like your own programming. How dare you? How dare you enjoy the things you make?
Whatever. Fine. Let's just do this.
Alright, so, we cut to my...
It's a flying buggy!
Yes, flying buggy.
It's not even a dune... You can't be called a dune buggy anymore, because it doesn't have to fucking deal with dune.
It's a fly buggy.
Wind buggy. It's a fucking... It's a magic love buggy.
It's a... magic love buggy. I love that album.
It's not even a buggy. I'm pretty sure at this point it's just, like, Fraubo made it out of the liquid metal that is her body, and just...
It's her.
It's her.
She's actually a centaur right now.
Yes. Riding on herself.
Yeah, so we cut to Mikuve and Kaecilia, who are heading to boot up the Adzam for a combat test. Kaecilia also pulls up her mask and puts on her helmet, and it looks real fucking cool. Yeah. That's it. That's pretty much the sum total of that scene.
Well, the important part is... She looks dope as fuck, y'all.
Also, we see Amuro in the Gundam in a window behind, and he's just fucking shit up.
Yeah. This is Vulcan cannon going up.
It's actually kind of cool as you see them driving down this fucking...
Also, they're chill as fuck.
Yeah.
They do not... They're like, oh, look. Gundam.
In my mind, like, fucking... Kaecilia wouldn't care, and Mikuve is just trying to play it cool because his boss is cool here. Anyway, so, Amuro, meanwhile, is taking some big hits from all the fucking tanks.
Hold on, I gotta yawn. Like, a fucking shit fuck ton.
Yeah.
I just said so many curse words that were needless, I apologize.
Fuck it.
Just so many tanks.
So many tanks that he gets fucked and fucks them up with a bunch of reused animation. He starts pulling a lot of Ace Pilot shit as the heroic combat music plays. He runs out of ammo at one, or no, more accurately, he drops his gun, and he's getting, like, fucked up by all these turrets that keep popping up in places, and so he fucking takes his shield and throws it into the hangar doors that are closing, keeping them open before grabbing his fucking gun. No, it was his sword. He pulls out his sword, runs over, and then stabs in, just killing all the turrets, and it was actually pretty cool. And he thinks he won, but he didn't. Because, oh hey.
Disco battle turn up.
Adzam.
Yeah, that too. I guess.
The battle turnip is called the Adzam.
I like my name better.
the disco battle turnip, begins, he and Amuro begins fighting the giant disco battle turnip with legs, that has a fuckload of guns on it and can fly. It then launches this weird little grenade thing, which Amuro shoots, and he ends up coated in this fine dust. And then it shoots another thing that pops out all these fucking spider legs and turns into an electric cage.
Yeah, and I want to say, I think, and it doesn't explicitly say this, but I think that dust, what that dust really does, it's not the garbage they say it does later. What it really does is just make whoever you put it on stand still for a little while. Because he doesn't try, he's just like, oh, look, dust on me, I guess I'm going to stand here for 5 minutes and let them shoot something else at me.
Yep. I don't get it either, but whatever. So this electro cage fucking launches over him and causes, with the little dust, to the Gundam to heat up to, like, a million degrees or something. It was really fucking hot. And the Gundam is like, fuck, I'm fucking rerouting all energy to the fucking cooler, holy shit. You're not gonna be able to move, you punk bitch. That's my computer voice. And yeah, we cut back to White Base, in the middle of the action scene, as Fraw begins giving them the deets on what the fuck is going down. We cut back immediately.
Man on the inside. Oops.
Yep. We cut back to the fight again, and we hear that the it's called the Plasma Leader.
It's a weird fucking, the things they name things.
It's actually just called the Leader, but it uses plasma and microwaves.
Why is it called the Leader? I could understand a lead, because that's like a leash. But Leader?
I was thinking like electrical lead.
Okay. Alright, I'm down. But still, like,
it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Fucking microwave cage. You named it better on accident.
Yeah, right?
It's a fucking microwave cage.
Anyway, apparently it only lasts so fucking long.
Yeah, we can't get too pissed off. They named a fucking weird... And it shows up again in this episode. It's fucking blown up Dr. Pink Dr. Glove on a lance called the Gundam Hammer. Frustrating.
It's called the Hammer, not the... No, I thought the Hammer was the fucking flail.
Right, whatever. It's none of them.
This is called like the mace or like the spear. No, javelin. It's a javelin.
Javelin. Okay, fine. This one doesn't. They did name a fucking the same difference.
Yes.
They named a weird laser flail a hammer.
Yes.
And fucking, I hate.
So yeah, Amuro manages to use the opportunity of the plasma leader wearing off to shoot the cage and break free, which causes Kaecilii and Mikuve to flip their shit, because holy shit, this would have murdered Izaku. Amuro proceeds to pull out the beam javelin for a stabbing, and as Chris mentioned, it's an extendable rod with a blown up pink doctor glove on it.
It just breaks shit around it too. It isn't even laser thing, it just breaks shit it hits.
He jumps up for a 300 stabbin' and pulls off the 300 stabbin' and proceeds to keep holding on and get some more stabbin' in. Kaecilii orders Mikuve to blow up the base to keep their secrets secret.
Yep. Because fucking Kaecilii is hard.
As AF. Fuck. And Mikuve's like, but there are soldiers in there. And Kaecilii is like, did I fucking stutter?
I didn't fucking. Hold on. Did you just fucking question me, you little piece of shit?
I have expected her to, like, just turn into a praying mantis and eat him right there.
Rip his fucking head off.
Yeah. So they do that, the base blows up, and then they fucking bail and manage to get Amuro off.
Whoa.
Amuro lands and is like, holy fuck, that entire base blew up, and then kind of watches the Adzam go.
He did it, right?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm awesome, yeah. Look at me.
Kaecilia remarks that they will have to increase their R&D departments big time to get their shit up to snuff with the Gundam. Amuro, meanwhile, heads back inside the ruined base, on foot, to try to get any info we can, but the place is mostly destroyed, and he finds a semi-burnt piece of paper that notes that this is base 108. There are a bunch of other ones. This is not the one Reville is after, you stupid shitlord. He comes outside to find a Zeon soldier dying of his wounds and decides to help him a bit. Amuro gives him some hope and some water and, like, a flare. And before Amuro leaves, the soldier is like, hey, if you told me that you were the pilot of that mobile suit, I'd find it hard to believe. But if you were, you should not be so soft on your enemies. You really need to kill them. Yeah, you need to be hard when it's time to be hard, my dude. And then Amuro's like, all right, and leaves.
Fucking weirdo.
Which probably the same thing the Zeon guy thought.
Irreconcilable differences, this war's never gonna end.
Yep. So, Amuro's attack, we cut back to White Base, who is pulling up on the scene and is like, wow, Amuro did this? Wow, that was a bad fucking idea, because now they know that we know, and also, there's a good chance they're going to make Odessa Day harder. Because anyone who managed to escape will tell the rest of Zeon, hey, they know we're out here. Yeah. Smooth. But then they pull up and see the flare and also notice that Amuro has run away again. Yeah. Seemingly wandering in the desert. Fra jumps in the buggy again and sets off to find him as the sad song swells and the episode ends. Meanwhile, next time, Amuro wanders in the desert, talks with Ron Baral, has a fight with Ron Baral in his big old fucking blue suit, and kicks ass. Next time, Ron Baral attacks. Will you be able to survive?
Amuro.
Well, I hope you enjoyed episode 18 of Mobile Suit Fandom. If you want to yell about how either of us are garbage, or that you like what we do, you can find us on Twitter with @MobileSuitPod. And our personal Twitters from there. Also, if you are new to Gundam as a whole and really want to give it a try, check out the official Gundam YouTube channel, Gundam Info. They have a bunch of shows legally for free. Until next time, mech fans, remember... Oh hey, a Zam series.